Pray with me. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Do you have an enemy? I'm not talking about the devil. That's a whole nother sermon. Jesus isn't talking about that in the gospel reading either. So who are your enemies? Maybe if you were alive in World War II, it was Nazi Germany or Imperial Japan, or perhaps you think of communists or ISIS or bin Laden, or closer to home, mass shooters or terrorists, domestic terrorists. Perhaps you think of a personal enemy, somebody who has abused you or taken advantage of you, hurt you. Maybe you think of people with different political views as you do, as your enemy, especially around election time. Jesus tells us in the story of the Good Samaritan that our enemies are also our neighbors. In that story, the Samaritan, was an enemy of the Jewish people, was the neighbor. He was the one who had mercy. And in our Old Testament reading today, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. For Joseph, his enemies were in his own family. Our enemies can be anywhere. The gospel passage today is in what's known as the Sermon on the Plain. It's given at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, has some of the same elements as the Sermon on the Mount, but it's shorter. It's addressed to disciples, and it begins with the Beatitudes, which Bill taught on last week. So if you missed it, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. As a Christian, you are blessed. Live like it. That's the setting for what comes next. So I'd like you to open your Bibles to Luke 6, starting at the 27th verse. It's on page 862, I think, if you're looking at the Pew Bible. I don't want you to miss how this passage starts. The ESV, which is what the Pew Bibles are, says, "But I say to you who hear." The NIV translates that line, "But to you who are listening, I say." That's probably a more helpful translation. We don't just need to hear, but we need to listen. Don't let yourself think, I just don't have any enemies. This doesn't apply to me. Everyone who has broken or difficult relationships, anybody who has stood up for injustice in the face of opposition, has enemies. So let's stop for a moment and hear his words. I want you to really listen to what Jesus is saying to you. To you, because you are listening. I want you to close your eyes or perhaps look at the cross and really listen to these words that Jesus is saying to them, to those who are listening. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. This is a hard passage. Once we decide that Jesus is talking to us, we read that standard and go, this is crazy. Who could do this? If someone hurts me, I'm supposed to put myself in a situation where they can hurt me again. If someone steals my coat, I should give them my shirt. What if it's cold? I'm supposed to give to every beggar in the street. If we don't let ourselves off the hook thinking Jesus isn't talking to us, we can let ourselves off the hook thinking this is complete hyperbole and an impossible standard and isn't meant to be literally followed. When someone has insulted us, mistreated us, injured, harmed us, or perhaps someone we love, is it really acceptable to let it go? Am I condoning evil or justifying wrong when I don't defend my rights? Jesus is saying that we should seek the highest good and let God control the consequences. Well, that's great if my enemy gets his just desserts, right? But what if God tarries? Or what if it's not God's plan to inflict vengeance? What if we are part of the source of our enemy's anger and treatment of us? What if we are their enemy? Do we want God to seek vengeance on us on their behalf? Do I want God to treat my enemies the same way I want God to treat my enemies' enemies? This is a hard passage, but it's a teaching for all of us, every one of us. There are no loopholes. None of us is exempt because none of us has somebody that they don't dislike or who has hurt them or offended them or they find difficult or you just don't seek the best for. Loving your enemies, the way Jesus said, isn't a matter of feeling. You don't have to like your enemies. It's a matter of will and of action, and it may be costly. You have to decide to love your enemy and then act that way. And ideally, forgiveness and reconciliation will eventually occur, but that doesn't always happen, and sometimes reconciliation is either not possible or not safe. I am not saying that if you are in an abusive or unsafe situation, you continue to put yourself in that situation. If you are in that situation, come talk to Bill or I or somebody else. That is not God's intention. Loving our enemy isn't a warm and fuzzy feeling. There are other Greek words for love that mean romantic love or affectionate love or brotherly love. This is agape love. It's a benevolent love that seeks the highest good for the other person no matter what. It's how God loves us. It's praying for the other person and not seeking revenge. Agape love leaves the control of what happens to the Lord, even if what happens isn't what we want. Most of our enemies are people we know, where a relationship's been broken, or perhaps it was adversarial from the beginning. Enemies don't usually come one-sided. In most situations, we bear some responsibility, and we must remember that all of us, every person ever born, is made in the image of God, but we're also all sinners. We are likely somebody else's enemy because we have hurt others or treated people poorly or broken a relationship in such a way that they might consider us their enemy. This is a hard passage, but seeking the best for my enemy, even if it's costly for me, is possible because it's not about me. It's about the kingdom and it's about obedience to God. In Luke 22, 49 through 51, it's after the Last Supper. The disciples and Jesus are in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's early morning. The soldiers come to arrest Jesus. This is what it says. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear, right ear. And Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. That is the last command of Jesus in the book of Luke. No more of this. No more retribution. No more hating our enemies. No more not treating others the way we want to be treated. No more. Obedience to God means that we need to take these words seriously. The Greek in that passage uses present imperative words, love, do good, bless, pray. That implies continual action. This is not a once and done thing or something you do occasionally. It's continual and regular behavior and action of the disciples, of us. And Jesus defines an enemy there. It is someone who hates you, curses you, or mistreats you. And the Greek word for mistreat there can be used from anything from an insult or wrongful treatment to revile, intimidate, or abuse. And then Jesus gives concrete examples to his disciples and thus to us. Enemies are not to be given reciprocal treatment. But rather, Jesus says, we are to act in ways that benefit them. Each of the examples Jesus gives are about others benefiting at the expense of us. Jesus mentions specific actions, slapping the cheek, which is usually meant to humiliate or as an insult. Taking one's coat, begging, stealing. And then he gives counterintuitive and countercultural actions as responses. By doing that, we invite the enemy to change their behavior. Offering the other cheek, for example, is not an is not an act of submission, but it's a deliberate act that says, I will not be humiliated and I will not retaliate. The offender then either will continue to inflict harm on somebody not fighting back, or they will be surprised by the counterintuitive response to strike the other cheek and perhaps be open to an exchange that isn't violent or humiliating. If someone takes something from you, offer them even more. You are not only saying you aren't fighting for what they took, but you are gifting them with it along with even more than that. What is meant as exploitation becomes an exercise in generosity. Jesus goes on to give what we call the golden rule: do to others as you would have them do to you. It's a positive command. It's harder to follow a positive command. It's easy to follow a negative command because we know if we haven't done something. Give me an example of a negative command. Do not kill, do not steal, right? You know whether or not you've done that. This is a positive command. Think of it, honor your father and your mother. Are you sure you've done everything you can to honor them? Is there anything more that could have been done or could be done? Which of us can say we've done that one perfectly? The golden rule is a positive command. Have you really done for others all that they might wish others to do for them? It's a hard command to follow without God's help. But we damage our witness in the world when we don't treat others the way we want to be treated. No one comes to Christ because of hostility. Loving our enemy and treating others as we want to be treated means we have to treat everybody, every person, like they are precious, because they are precious in the eyes of the Father. We can push people away from knowing the abundant, saving grace of Jesus because of our witness. Not everyone who's on the other side of an issue from you is stupid or crazy. That doesn't mean that you affirm every position. Not every position is equally valid. But that we treat everyone like we want to be treated while we disagree. It may be a novel thought, but you don't have to respond to everything on the internet that you disagree with. Remember, you too are a sinner in need of a savior, and your best is not enough. Loving our enemy is not for us. It's for the good of the other person. Do to your enemy anything and everything that that you would want done to you. How do you want to be treated? With respect, dignity, honor, compassion, grace? Then do that with others, even your enemies, especially your enemies. After all, this is grounded in the crazy, abundant, gracious love of God, who loved us when we were still his enemies. Jesus said he was talking to those who would listen. So listen. Jesus said, no more of this behavior and action that does not seek the best for enemies, but that seeks retribution for wrongs and tries to put us in control instead of God. Let God be on the throne. Let him deal with your enemies. You may find that if you obey these commands, that your enemies will become your friends. I've had that experience in my life. It is said that all preaching is first to the preacher. I'm preaching to myself, and you're listening in. This has been especially true with this sermon. While I've not had a lot of enemies, no one goes through life in perfect relationship with everyone. In reflecting on this passage, I wrestled with the Lord about how well I followed it or not followed it, and how that played out over time. And there were some hard moments for me to look back on and realize how much I had missed the mark, or where I could see that I am more of an active player in broken relationships when I'd rather think of myself as the victim. I could see when I ignored this command, things got worse. Whereas when I followed it, however imperfectly, groundwork was laid for improvement or reconciliation. Think of it this way: if we keep fighting, keep retaliating, we build a wall, which will separate us not just from the other person, but will affect our relationship with the Lord. When we don't reciprocate, but rather turn the other cheek, we begin to build a foundation for reconciliation and forgiveness. I had to allow myself, though, to be in situations where I was vulnerable to more loss or more hurt in the short run. Following that command is costly at times, but it's never not worth it. I encourage you to engage in that exercise this week. How have you lived out this command? How do you live it now? How could you do it better? Ask the Lord to bring to mind situations that you may have put aside or deal with something that's right in front of you. Everyone has somebody who's hurt them. It may help you with healing in past relationships or perhaps to see a current relationship in a new light. You may need to reach out to people. Even if there isn't reconciliation, your generous countercultural response might plant seeds that will come to fruition down the road. And really, the outcome isn't the point anyway. The point is listening and following Jesus, who loved his enemies even to the cross. Let's pray. O God, the creator of all, whose Son commanded us to love our enemies, lead them and us from prejudice to truth. Deliver them and us from hatred, cruelty, and revenge. And in your good time, enable us all to stand reconciled before you in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.